There is a bison at the Neil Smith Wildlife Refuge with a massive scar that spans over most of his muscular hump. The 9-year-old bull, nicknamed Sparky, was hit by lightning this summer but received no medical care for his burn. Lee Jones, a wildlife biologist at the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, explains.
We let them live and die as their own genetics let them do.
We want to keep them facing as many challenges that are going to occur in the next thousands of years to keep them adapted to it. So that's why we don't do a lot of antibiotics.
Jones manages the genetics for the agency's almost 1,400 bison that are spread out amongst herds located in Iowa, Colorado, Oklahoma, Montana, Nebraska, and North Dakota. The agency aims to preserve the species' genetic diversity with as little human intervention as possible. Therefore, bison are left more or less to their own devices. If a cow dies, biologists don't care for the orphaned calf. During winter, when food is sparse, bison may go hungry.
If you imagine if we were to feed these guys in the winter, they might, over generations, lose the ability to naturally search for and digest dry winter forage. That's part of what makes them tough as a bison, as a species. That's why they've survived for thousands of years. We don't want to lose that.
Since herds managed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are isolated from each other, the agency does genetic testing on the animals yearly to prevent inbreeding. To obtain these DNA samples, bison are rounded up and sent through a series of metal gates, which work to separate the entire herd down to individual bison. Even for Neil Smith's relatively small herd, almost 70 animals, this is a tremendous effort. Veteran volunteer and wildlife educator Chris Atkins explains.
Generally what happens is the easier catches are the ones that first get pulled out of the herd over here, and usually at the end of the day there's four or five young bulls standing defiantly in the corral here saying, "We're not doing anything you want."
Wild bison do not take kindly to being separated from their calves, nor do they like having their blood drawn from the neck or hair pulled out at the root from their tails while a human grips them by the horns. Iowa State University PhD student Pete Eraldi studies the bison's role in prairie seed dispersal and has served as the Roundup's chief hair puller for the past few years.
You can break an arm or smash your head if you're not careful, but kind of watch their body movement.
And you can't cut it, you have to pull it?
Well, yeah, because we want the follicles. That's where the DNA is extracted best. And so, yeah, you want the root of the hair. That's why you got to pull it out.
At the end of the roundup, all but 12 bison are released back into the refuge.
Come on, baby.
Neil Smith can't keep all the animals. Resources are limited, and new calves are born every spring. As winter closes in, some bison like Sparky may not make it. The near-fatal July storm singed a good portion of his fur. But Sparky might live to see the spring and sire some calves. And those calves could have calves, and perhaps Sparky's descendants will graze the prairie long after he and everyone else at Neil Smith, human and bison alike, are long gone. For Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Sarah Bowden in Prairie City.